more when it emerged a couple of days ago that unemployment in the country is stubbornly sitting at just over 29%. That means more than 6.7 million South Africans are without a job. And many of those have just become discouraged altogether and stopped looking for work. Director of the Studies of and in Poverty and Inequality Institute, Isabel Fry, is with us right now. Isabel, good afternoon. Thank you very much for making yourself available today. How do we begin to understand the poverty in our country resulting from massive unemployment rates?
Good afternoon, Jan, and thanks very much for the opportunity. I think what we need to acknowledge is that what we're facing is a completely abnormal situation, and it's chronic. This is not a crisis. So we were mentioning the 29% narrow definition, but in terms of dealing with the disruption of abnormality, I think we need to really embrace the fact that the broad definition of unemployment is 38.7%, which is much higher. We have a 1.2% growth rate, and yet we have a 1.3% population growth per annum. So the question is, what are we doing in facing the regeneration of the labor market? Again, if you look at the stats of the broad definition of youth unemployment, we're looking at 69%. 73% of the unemployed are long-term unemployment. So what we're seeing is that we're not reproducing a labor market. We're not dealing with the fact that this is a generation that's going to be reproducing society as well. And so we need to start looking at things differently. One of the issues that came through very clearly in the recent stats is that of the unemployed, 55% have not completed matric. If you look at the unemployed graduates, 1.9% of the unemployed have a tertiary degree from university, 6.9% have other tertiary. So there's a huge mismatch. We keep on talking about the fact that there's no demand for employment. But on the other hand, we're also looking at the fact that the supply, the unemployed themselves, are not matching the skills that are required in order to make them employable.
That's such a good point. I mean, I think we're looking at around about 50% or over that youth unemployment in an extremely young population overall, while the average youth unemployment rate in other developing nations is 15%. I mean, we're definitely an anomaly, aren't we, in terms of how we deal with youth unemployment?
We are. I think the other thing to consider is the huge number of what's referred to very sort of coldly as NEET, people who are not in employment, education or training. And we're looking at about 15 million people in South Africa. So in a way, youth unemployment is critical. But if you go through each age cohort, there's crisis there as well. The other thing to consider is the fact there's no social security for people aged 18 to 59. So if you are not employed, your access to income is virtually nil. So when I say that it's an abnormal situation, you're completely correct. If you compare us to other countries, even developing countries, again, because of the apartheid and colonial past, we don't have a strong rural peasantry. So people are highly urbanized and dependent on income.
Isabel, a question about SMMEs. We've been talking in the last few days about support for small to medium enterprises. And, of course, that has been touted as the solution, one of the big solutions to our unemployment problem in this country. But how many young people in particular, or anyone entrepreneurial for that matter, is being given the know-how, the tools to be able to equip them to start a business?
There are a number of government agencies that seek to do this, but I think that we've got to be quite clear about the fact that risk of failure is incredibly high for people who get given some form of access to income. Again, if you look at the fact that 55%, as I was saying, of the unemployed don't have matric, the skills required, even basic business skills, are very low. In many other developing countries, it is the SMMEs that drive economic growth and also employment growth. The question that we have to face is, given the high prevalence of poverty, with more than 55% of our people living in poverty, one in four not having enough to meet the starvation level, where is the demand for the small business services going to come from?
Isabel, it's an important question on which to end, and hopefully we'll start to see the light at the end of the tunnel and start seeing some answers to these difficult questions. Isabel Fry, Director of the Studies in Poverty and Inequality Institute, thank you so much for your time.